Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke and then the Gospel of John. Familiar passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, first, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the lineage and house of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 5 and 9, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Well, it occurred on a morning years ago when we were attending worship at St. Jude's Catholic Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. As Linda and I began to leave that beautiful sanctuary, we looked back and saw that our young son, Nathan, 5 at the time, had stopped at the end of the pew. We watched as he knelt on one knee facing toward the crucifix, the Catholic symbol of Christ on the cross hanging high above the altar area in front of the church. And he made the sign of the cross reverently upon his head and shoulders, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen." With the words that he seemed to be saying that we probably imagine we would hear if we got up closer to him. Our 5-year-old son, Nathan, our precious kneeling boy, had probably seen me do that, genuflect, it's called, as I left the pew just before he did. And as little boys will do, he copied his daddy's display of respect for Christ, which I learned during my childhood. As we waited for Nathan to join us, I was trying to remember the meaning for leaving the pew like that, beyond simply, quote, "That is what I always did, being raised as a boy in the Catholic Church in New York," close quote. I was certain Nathan didn't know why he should do that gesture, and so rather than fumble with my own explanation, if he should ask, as he sat in the front seat of the car between us as we were heading home, I mentioned to him that his mom and I had noticed him kneel and cross himself as he left the church pew a few minutes earlier and wondered why he did that. "Well," he responded, "when you do that, Daddy, do you get closer to God?" He asked almost with a knowing assurance of what the answer should be. Embracing his question and anticipating his next comment with a bit of excitement, I told him that I suppose you certainly could feel closer to God in that moment, kneeling and bowing your head to the figure of Jesus Christ on the cross. "Well then," he smiled, "I just wanted to be closer to God." It was clear to me, my friends, right then, who was closer to understanding what it was all about. And I'll let you in on a little secret. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Years and years of wondering about the God that he wanted to be closer to and wandering in and out of church after church after church, worship services and Sunday school classes, meetings and programs, especially at certain holy times of the year, unfortunately had left me no closer to the truth shared that morning by our son, our dear young gift from God. That day's church service was just one of many, 10 to 15 a week, that I went to for a number of years, searching, but still never found it. Until a day, a number of years later, when the angel's words to the shepherds from so long ago entered my life and changed my life. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Those words penetrated my heart one day, and the reality of the baby who was born for you and for me that day became as close and warm to me as he was to my son that day in the church as he was leaving the pew. He came for me, and he came for you. We're in the home stretch, my friends, heading toward Christmas. Presents are being made, bought, and then wrapped. The dinner menu for Christmas Day is being settled. Travel plans are in process or already completed. The stockings will all be hung by the chimney with care in hopes that, well, you know the rest. Yet I wonder if any of us feel a little stressed out like that young couple trying to figure out how they can possibly make the next mortgage payment, or that elderly couple concerned that the money may run out too soon and they're not sure what they can do, or that homeless family never expecting that this would happen to them until a job was lost. We're in the home stretch. And tell me again, where are we headed? And why are we headed there? And how will we behave along the way? And what will we do when we get there? And will it make a difference for us? We are headed, my friends, to a place of hope and love, a place of possibility and eternal peace. Here we are, approaching again the celebration of that moment so long ago when that light which shines through the darkness came to dwell among us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that childlike excitement of hope should be bubbling anew within us, no matter what is going on in our lives or in the world around us. The whole purpose of Luke's retelling of the story of the birth of that baby in a stable, and of John's gospel reminding us of the one true light which had come into the world, was to turn that light of hope a little brighter in our lives and to invite each of us again to embrace anew and afresh that hope of the ages for our lives right this very moment and always. To remember that no matter what we face, and what we're going through, what disappointments, relationship setbacks, failures, and heartaches we've suffered, decisions that are in front of us, or whatever financial uncertainty looms before us, there is the light of hope that shines through all the darkness of all of our moments of concern. That in the midst of all the darkness in a world which seems to be spinning out of control at times, with fighting and wars and threats growing around us, and all that darkness which has existed throughout the ages and does even now, and the uncertainty and worry in our lives even today, none of that can and none of it ever will overcome that one true light which came into the world through the birth of the Christ child, which we celebrate again in a few days. I want us to remember that. I want you and me to remember that. And during our advance toward that sacred moment, toward this time of the celebration of the gift of that one true light and the life of the babe of Bethlehem, I want to invite you to follow the example of that five-year-old old boy, my son, leaving the church that day so long ago. I invite you to draw close, not to programs or buildings or careers or worldly things that are fleeting or political issues and concerns, but instead to draw close, as our young son did, to that light. Draw close to that rescuing, healing, empowering, and eternal light that came into the world over 2,000 years ago in the person of a baby and a Savior for you and for me. Draw close to that gift of eternal life, that light of peace and hope. Draw close to that one that you can trust with everything and anything, to the God who loves you and adores you, and who every day, in the midst of whatever you face and wherever you find yourselves, invites you to move closer to him. Merry Christmas to each of you and your families. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the simple reminder as we approach this special, special holy moment. That you sent your Son because you love us that much. Help us, Lord, simply to draw closer to that light, to draw closer to that moment, to draw closer to you. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. Thanks for your Son. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.